You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Dr. Michelle McCroy Higgins, and we've been talking about children and their emerging language and when they begin to learn. When a lot of people sing to their babies, read to their babies, is this a really good way to just fill them with language?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Babies love singing. You may not love your singing voice, but your baby doesn't mind at all. And babies also love repetition. They love to hear the same thing over and over again. So that's the best thing that we can do. We can sing. They love rhythm. They pick up aspects of language, our intonation, that way. And also reading is also a really great way to introduce babies to language. And reading is more than just reading the words on the page. Also, you know, reading allows us to ask questions and really engage in language other than, like I said, reading words on the page.
Right. So will parents delay any benefits by putting kids in front of TVs or little games that are electronic? Does that help or hinder the process of learning to speak?
Right. So, a recent study came out, actually, from a group of pediatricians in Canada, which actually examined that question. And what they did was they did a questionnaire where they asked parents, how much time does your child, and they looked at young kids under the age of two, how much time are they spent engaged with smartphones or tablets? And then they got measures of the children's language, their vocabulary, and they actually found that the more time a child spent engaged with smartphones and tablets, the lower their vocabulary scores are. And so we're still trying to understand the relationship between electronics and language, but it seems like for very young children under the age of two, they don't necessarily help language development. And we have known for years what does help language development is talking to your kids. And so there's been many studies looking at the amount of language input a child receives from a person is directly correlated with their language output. So I think that this is an easy thing that we can do. Talking doesn't cost any money and doesn't require any equipment. So let's keep it simple and just talk to our kids as much as we can.
Good. Can you speak to like first child, second child, third child? Like first child seems to learn at a different rate than the ones coming after that?
They do. We know that first kids usually say their first words and meet some language milestones a little bit earlier than second-born and third-born kids. So when I say a little bit, I mean maybe a month or two, their milestones might be ahead of their siblings, but it's not to say that second-born and third-born, et cetera, kids will have a language delay or a language impairment. But that's not the case with every single kid. I have two girls, and my younger daughter spoke earlier and spoke in a more complex way than my older daughter. For her, I think it had to do with personality. She wanted a turn, and she was going to take one.
Yeah, does the age difference make a difference as well?
I don't know of any research that looks specifically at the gap between siblings. Mm-hmm. There's so much variability with that, so I think it's hard to really make any generalization about that. But in general, second-born, et cetera, kids may meet their language milestones a little bit later than the firstborns.
Can you tell me what some of those milestones are so we could watch for them in our children?
Yes, absolutely. So we talked about saying your first words, and that's a real strong indicator of how language is going to progress. So, you know, by 12 months, most kids say their first words. By 15 months, this is when we really want them to be saying words. Around 18 months is when kids will start to combine words, put two words together to say really simple sentences like more milk. And by 2 years of age, kids will have 300 words in their vocabularies. That's a lot. And they'll also start to use some grammar forms. And so in English, they'll use the plural S at the end of words. They'll use the verb ing form, like running, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And for children who are delayed, what are some of the therapies that you can use for them to increase their sounds and their vocabulary?
Right. So if a child is delayed, then they are likely to benefit from speech and language therapy. Depends on what the exact delay is, what the procedures the speech-language therapist would use, but it should involve family training, family involvement, so the speech-language therapist can work with the family to give them techniques to use. So some things that families can do is create more opportunity for kids to have a talking turn. So maybe the child is in a very busy family with lots of people who want to turn. Making sure everyone gets a talking turn is really important. Also giving the child choices. If the child wants something to drink, you could say, oh, do you want milk or water? This way, it will encourage the child to say a word, to say a response, milk or water, rather just and pointing to something or asking them a question, do you want milk? And then the child can nod yes or no.
Open-ended questions.
Yes, exactly. Open-ended
okay.
questions.
And so if your child is not along these lines at 12 months, 15 months, what are some of the red flags that alert the parents to potential issues?
Right. So if a child is 12 months of age and they're not responding to their name, so usually if you call out a child's name, they might stop what they're doing. They might turn their head to look towards you. That's a red flag. It might indicate that they're having trouble understanding language, or it might indicate trouble hearing or listening to language. Again, if they're not saying words by 15 or 16 months, we want to contact a speech-language therapist. At 2, if they have fewer than 50 words and they're not yet combining words, that's another time that we want to contact a professional. And I've been talking a lot about early milestones and early language development, but you may have a school-aged child who's in kindergarten or first grade who maybe can talk in sentences and you can understand them clearly, but they might have trouble learning how to read and write. So that's another time when we would want to speak with a speech-language pathologist and possibly a reading specialist.
Do you see some common issues with the hearing, with the congested ears and that? Do you see a common theme in that? And is there any way to bring about healing in the ears?
Yeah, well, yes and no. So we know that kids who have had chronic ear infections, who have chronic hearing loss due to fluid, are at risk for difficulties developing speech sounds, difficulty developing language, and speech and language are related to reading development. So we know that early hearing health is very important for speech development, language development, and reading development. So if a child is experiencing the chronic ear infections and the fluid, they definitely want to visit an ear, nose, and throat specialist. This is a physician who specializes in ears, nose, and throats, and that physician might be able to recommend certain treatments, PE tubes or the tubes that are in kids' ears that helps to equalize the pressure to help the fluid drain.
Wow. So, that's good to really have their ears checked a lot in the early years when they don't have the ability to communicate very well.
Yes, ears are important.
And what have you seen in your practice with all these children as far as bringing them forward? Can you give us any stories of things, patients that have come in with issues and how they manage to develop?
Yes. So I'm thinking of a little girl who I used to see who was 2 years old when I first met her, and she really was not saying any words at all. But she seemed to understand language very, very well. She could follow directions, and she knew all of her toys and even most of her colors, but she just wasn't saying very many words at all. And her parents were very concerned. We worked together. I saw her 3 times a week in the home, and we really worked a lot on just language expression, talking, using our words and using them to communicate. And we worked very hard during her toddler years and preschool years together. And I'm still in touch with the family, and she's in fourth grade now. She's doing fabulous. She's at the top of her class. And so how I would describe this girl is a late talker. So a late talker is a child who seems to be developing typically in every aspect except for language. And it's hard to know at age of two, what's the outcome of this child? Are they going to catch up and do okay and be successful in elementary school, or are they going to continue to struggle with language? And so that's why at age two, or when your child is a toddler, if they are showing delays in language, it's important to start intervention right away, because we want to we want the profile of this little girl rather than one who really struggles with language.
Absolutely. So your book is available through, is it through most bookstores, or do you have to go online for it? Where do people find this wonderful book?
And it may also be available at local bookstores. And it's called Time to Talk, What You Need to Know About Your Child's Speech and Language Development.
And how did you end up co-authoring with this book?
Right. So my profession is I'm a speech-language pathologist, and my co-author, Carlin Kolker, is actually a writer. And we have children who are the exact same age. When we were both on maternity leave with our second children, who will be going to kindergarten next year, so this was 5 years ago, we were both home on maternity leave and nursing in tandem together. And I said, oh, you know, I've always wanted to write a book about speech and language development because I speak to so many parents about this topic. Everyone wants to know some information about this. And she said, well, I'm a writer, and I'm really interested in this topic too, and I feel like she could write it in a way that it's really accessible to parents, and that's what our book is. It's really a resource for parents that's written by me, and I have a PhD and experience with speech and language development, but it's not written like a textbook. It's written like a guidebook for parents. And so what we did was we combined our professions together, and our result, I think, is a really helpful resource for parents.
This sounds like a wonderful book. I just read a few bits out of it, but is there any words of wisdom you'd like to add for new parents and parents that are beginning to speak to their new babies?
I would just say keep doing what you're doing. Keep speaking and keep talking about the world around you. The thing that has the strongest research is the more you talk to your kids, the higher their language scores are later on. And also, parents know their children best. So if parents are ever concerned about any aspect of development, they should trust themselves that they know their child best, and they should check in with a specialist, whoever that specialist may be, for that particular aspect of development. And parents are the best advocates for their children.
Yes, that's for sure. Well, Dr. Michelle McCroy-Higgins, it was so good to have you on the show, and it's good to hear about all this work that's being done as an audiologist and getting all this information out to parents. So thank you so much. And after the break, we're going to come back with David Hunter, and he's going to be talking about phytoplankton.